Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Father Narek Tatarian from St. Sarkis Armenian Apostolic Church, coming to you with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our day and our program with a prayer for the prayers of the Armenian Church. Today's prayer is Habado Postovanim, in faith I confess, from Saint Nerses the Gracious, Nerses Shnorhali. Havadov Postovanim, Yev Yergrbakanem Kez, Hair Yev Vorti Yev Surpoki, Aner Yevam Mahpanutyun, Ararich Reshtagats Yev Martkan Yev Amenanerelots, Vogormiako Ararazots Yev Inspasma Meris. In faith I confess and I bow down to you, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, uncreated and immortal nature, creator of angels, of men, and of all things, have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am. It's the first week of Lent. The season of Lent started last Monday. As a matter of fact, Sunday was Pum Paregentan, and Monday was the first day of Lent. It's the somber season in the church where we observe the Lent and we prepare ourselves to meet the risen Lord on Easter Sunday. I'm sure that for so many of our listeners, when we speak about Lent, naturally, we speak about fasting and we speak about food. But the nature and the essence of Lent is not about food. It is about fasting. But if you were at your church this past Sunday, I'm sure the reading of the day made it very clear to everyone what the season is all about. We read from the Gospel of Matthew that there are three elements that we need to focus on during this season. The three elements are prayer, acts of mercy, and fasting. So, this is the time for us to focus on these three equally. So, if we are focusing on one and neglecting the others, it means that something essential is missing from our Lenten experience. And I say this because I know that a lot of our listeners focus on giving up certain types of food, staying away from certain types of food. And that's a good thing. But if we want to have a good Lenten season, something fulfilling, something that will spiritually strengthen us, then we need to focus on all three. We need to cultivate a better relationship with our Heavenly Father, and that is done through prayer. And let me say really quickly here that prayer is not only a recitation that we say to Father. It is not only the conversation that we can have with the Father. But did you know that you can pray with the Scriptures? It is when you read the Scriptures and you put yourself, you immerse yourself in the Scripture, and that in itself is a form of prayer. So prayer, acts of mercy. What are some of the things that we can do to become more merciful in our lives? And finally, what are some of the things that we need to give up so that we will stay away from certain bad habits? So, as I said, oftentimes we focus on giving up certain things, and that is a good thing. But we need also to focus on what are we taking on. You know, the season of Lent is a very important season for us to start cultivating and nurturing new habits in our lives. So there are certain things that we as members of the Armenian Church can do in our lives, can do in our families, in the household. For instance, why don't we make the habit of reading the scripture as a family every night during this Lent season? So not only we are focusing on giving up certain things, but starting new habits. So what have you given up for Lent this year? Probably some of my listeners are saying, I haven't given up anything yet. And let me tell you, it's not too late. It's only the first week of Lent. If you haven't thought about it, this is the perfect time for you to think about something and give it up. The reason that we give up things for Lent, it's the time of the year when we decide what kind of a penance do we want to have. And that's why we give up things that we like in our lives. You know, if you don't like sprouts, then giving up sprouts, it's not going to help you. You need to give up something that it's important for you, something that you like. And then my next question, when you give up something, do you share that with your friends or family members, or you keep that private? There are some people who keep that absolutely private because they think that it is between them and God. And I totally respect that. But there are others who share that with their friends, family members. And I think that is also acceptable because we as human beings, we need some sort of accountability. It's okay for us to share what are we giving up during Lent with close friends and family members so that people ask us, how are we doing? And we are kind of accountable to hold on to the promise that we have made, or if we have taken something on, maybe people can help us to stick to the plan. If you have taken up to come to church every Sunday, for example, during Lent, which is not a bad idea. If you don't have any ideas, that's a great idea. Come to church every Sunday. If that's your plan and you have shared that with your family members, probably some of them will remind you, you made a promise. You better stick to your promise. So think about what you can do. And I hope that this Lenten season will be a season of blessings to you and your family members. You know what I like during Lent? And I'm not sounding sarcastic here. I like the first Sunday of Lent when the curtain is closed and the church services are short and we don't have the sunrise service at the end of Padarak. So here's what happens. We start the church services, we start Badarak, but it's so short that by the time that we would be reading the gospel, let's say on a regular Sunday, here we are delivering the sermon. And then after that, we do the Requiem service. And we finish the whole worship, and then we look around and see more people are coming. You see confused faces. What did you do? Why the service is so short? Did you start early today? Did you mess up the clock? And I always give explanation. Today is the first week of Lent. By next week, things will be better. But this year, things would get more confusing. Let me tell you why. Because this Sunday, if you come to church, you will find the curtain to be open. Do you know why? Because this Sunday, it is the feast of the Arantarach, the presentation of the Lord to the temple. Remember, Jesus was born on January 6th, and 40 days from that date brings us to February 14. No, it's not Valentine's Day. It's the Arantarach. It's the feast of the presentation of the Lord. Jesus was brought to the temple, and he was presented, and there was this guy, Simon, who was there, who was waiting in anticipation the promise of God. And when he saw that baby, he said, thank you to the Lord, because his eyes has seen the salvation. It is such a unique story in the gospel. It is found in the gospel of Luke. And in our church services, this story and the prayer are embedded in the service where young children are brought to church to be dedicated. So this Sunday is the perfect day for you to bring your young children for a blessing at church. So when you come to church this Sunday, do not think that Lent is over. Lent is continuing. As a matter of fact, the following Sunday we'll find the curtain closed, but this Sunday is an exception. Come to church, pray together, and if you have young children, come and present them to the Lord and let the Lord protect your family members. For the past 2 weeks, we have been recording the podcast without our co-host, Mr. Veh Bazdikian. And sometimes when I'm recording this alone, I do not feel comfortable. And worse, I think that my producer, Mr. Greg, thinks that I'm going a little nuts. But our good friend, our co-host, Mr. Veh Bazdikian, is not with us because he is at a nicer place. He is in Rome, Italy. No, he's not on a vacation. He's there for business. But he was kind enough to send us an audio message that we're going to play to our listeners. Take a listen to what our co-host has to say about the beautiful city of Rome.
Buongiorno, Danareg. And buongiorno, Greg. And of course, salve to all our listeners. I take this opportunity to practice my Italian, since I am in Rome and I'm trying to do as the Romans do. Hope everybody is enjoying their time back in New York. I can say that my experience in Rome has been terrific so far. This entire city is like one huge museum, and I'm sure as many of you have already visited this place, you've experienced it firsthand. Of course, the main purpose of my travel here is for work, and I'll be here for the remainder of the month. But in addition to that, I've had the opportunity to explore, enjoy the city, and, of course, all the great food that the Italian culture has to offer. So greetings to everyone. Arrivederci. And I look forward to catching up with everyone soon when I return stateside.
My guest today is Very Reverend Harutyun Selimyan, who is the president of the Armenian Evangelical Churches in Halep. Vera Badveli, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Can you tell us what brings you here? What brings you to the United States?
Actually, this is my second year. I was invited by the authorities of White House to attend the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., in Hilton. And this was a time, an exceptional time for meeting people and getting together from 130 countries, delegates, and members of the Congress and the Senate, along with the President of the United States of America, Mr. Barack Obama. They were there And it's not just having a breakfast together, but to sort of discuss our situation worldwide and the challenges that globally we're facing today, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. So there is sort of equality in the speech of Mr. President. Also, what we are encountering today is that the uncertainty, which is very much overwhelming in the whole world, especially in the Middle East, people from all over, they were very much interested how to bring and promote peace and stretching helping hand for the peace progress.
Were you the only clergyman from the Middle East?
Actually, I was the only man, and I was the only person also from Syria.
And were they interested to hear your perspectives about what is happening in Syria?
In fact, I thought that they wouldn't be interested, but they were so much interested, and they had questions, and also they have admitted from time to time about the naivety of the foreign policy that the U.S. is practicing nowadays. And they have asked that how they can be interfering in a situation where the war is outcast, and also people are very much angry about what's happening around the world.
When we say people, who are we talking about?
We're talking about Syrians in general, Syrians that they are still settled in Syria, and Syrians that they are outside of Syria.
I don't want to discuss the U.S. politics. You know, people in this country, I'm sure that they get their healthy dose of politics every day.
Yes.
But what interests me is to hear about what is the situation in Syria, and specifically the situation of our Armenian community there. What can you tell us, Verabadveli?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, this is the fifth year that we are in a real war, and the situation is getting tensed day by day. Especially in cities like Aleppo, Damascus, and Deir Zor, and Hasakeh, Kamishli. These places are getting under fire every day. Some sort of rockets and bombs that they are using nowadays. Our people are saying that they haven't heard for the last couple of years such a thing. So we are today sort of in a blockage, and that blocking of these major big cities such as Aleppo is giving much difficult time and hardship for the people that they are inside of Aleppo, especially the part that is under the government jurisdiction. And we are having shortage of water for the last couple of months. We are having a shortage of the fuel and electricity.
We're talking about basic necessities of life.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I mean, we're lacking all the basic necessities of life. I mean, the hygiene matter is absent from our daily life. And the necessities such as water, electricity, and food, and shelter, and security, you don't find none of them. So this is a situation where our people in Syria, Christians and non-Christians, they are facing simultaneously that sort of big, big problem. And the only side that is so far protecting us and trying to reach out to our needs is the government, honestly speaking.
So you're saying that the government is not the enemy?
No, 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 of course not. Though there are very wrong projections outside of Syria about the government and the authorities in Syria. I mean, people are usually asking, how come that still you are in? How come that still you are persisting this situation? And why this much resistance not to go out? We always have one and only answer is that Syria is our home, and we don't neglect our home, and we don't neglect our loyalty to Syria. We're not talking here authority. We're not talking politics. We're talking about how to be a good citizens of a country, and in the same time, how can we as Christians and Armenians express our loyalty towards the nation and towards the country?
Vera Badbeli, with all due respect, what you're telling me are great ideals. But when the war has taken place for over 5 years now, I'm sure that people are trying to find and seek hope. My next question is there hope for our people there?
Hope is very part of our Christian understanding and discipline. We cannot live without hope, and it's not that hoping is a duty. Hoping for the future, for a brighter future, is some sort of projection of our Christian theology, Christian understanding, and our biblical habits, and that we are teaching in our Christian education programs, in our churches, in our sermons. So in the good days, we always talked with people and we preached and we prepared their Christian understanding, and the core of what they have believed in is based on biblical virtues and biblical values. And hope consists one of them. So when the time of, the difficulties come, and when your faith, our Christian faith, being tested, now is the time, the right time to practice the hope, the love, and the sincerity that we have learned biblically. And the person of Jesus is always a model in front of us. And in our mindset is always rounding around what Jesus dealt, how Jesus dealt in the desert with the evil. You know, when Satan came and approached Jesus, Satan wanted Jesus to be some sort of under the authority of his orders. But Jesus stayed in the desert and said to Satan, "Go behind me." So when Jesus said to Satan, "Go behind me," he stayed there. Today, taking as a role model what Jesus said and what Jesus did in the Bible, we are not leaving that desert. We are staying in the desert, and the Satan should go beyond us.
When you say we, I'm sure you're talking about the community, but I also know that you as clergy are staying with your flock.
Yes, of course.
You're a great example of that.
Exactly.
Our beloved Shahan Sarpazan, who was a guest on the podcast,
exactly.
He is a great example. And all the clergy who are serving the people, I think that in itself promotes hope.
Exactly. That's very, very important part. Archbishop Shahan Sarkisian is my friend, my brother in Christ, and we serve together. And this serving togetherness also unifies the community, and that unity is a model for every other nation and every other minorities in Arab world or in the Middle East in general. So last week also we had our meeting with Vehapar Aram, and Vehapar Aram also gave his blessings to our existence there, and the cooperation that our three churches, Armenian Orthodox, Armenian Evangelical, and Armenian Catholics, they are together in the midst of war and in the midst of fire. So today we are trying to play the role model of Good Shepherd, and trying to reach out to our people and make their problems and all that they are suffering from the war and from the results of the war to minimize that struggle and that problems in their lives.
Let's shift gears now, Vera Badbeli, and let me ask you about your visit here. What are the next steps? What are your plans for your stay here in the U.S.?
Yeah, actually, after a couple of days, I'll be leaving for Los Angeles. And in Glendale and in the surrounding, there are lots of work is being prepared for the planned fundraising for SARF.
What is that?
SARF is Syrian Armenian Relief Foundation Fund. And this fund will be used for the needs of the Syrians in Syria. You know, sometimes people are not differentiating in between of these two. They are saying there are Syrians all over the world. Yes, but we are talking about Syrians who are staying in Syria, and our American citizens and many people who are very much loyal to Syrian people, they are generously giving. And we have some plans pre-planned, and I'll be the keynote speaker of both events. One is on the 11th of February and the second is on the 14th in Glendale after the church service as a community rally speaker.
Very good. Before I let you go, Vera Badveli, and I know this interview was not planned and you graciously agreed to give this interview on the go, and I'm sure that our listeners will appreciate any news that come to us from Syria and especially from Halep, I want to ask you, what is your message to our listeners?
In the beginning, I would like to thank all the Americans, that especially those who were around us, and they have generously donated and they have given much from their wealth for the needs and for the security and to meet the necessities of our people in Aleppo, in Kesap, in Kamishli, in Damascus, in everywhere that still Armenians are suffering under the real war. So my word of appreciation goes to everybody, especially for the clergy and the organization leaders, that they are leaders of the community in abroad, especially in the U.S. They are very much, they're walking side by side with our people, and they have always with their prayers and with their help, they try to stand next to us. So the word of appreciation is very little for this type of people. I would urge our people in the U.S. When the SARF starts their rally and the
fundraising
on the 21st of February, the Telethon, let everybody feel that they are giving a cup of water to a child. They are giving a nightgown for someone who is out of his or her home. Let them feel like they are feeding the hungry. Let them just generously continue to give, so that we can lessen from the suffering of our people in Syria.
This is the core of the biblical message that you are reminding our listeners. And I want to assure you that our communities here have been helpful, and they will try to do their best to be helpful to the needs of our suffering community in Syria. Vera Badveli, I thank you very much for this opportunity, for giving some time and providing the eyewitness news to our listeners. And I wish you best of success in your journey.
Thank you, Derhair, also for the time that you have taken to interview me. Thank you for this.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 through 14. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. The Word of God. A very powerful and inspiring passage from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. The first thing that comes to my mind when I read this part from the letter to the Romans is the sacrament of baptism. I'm sure most of you have attended the sacrament of baptism in the Armenian church. You know, the moment where the priest takes the baby and dunks the baby three times in the baptismal font. And when you ask the average parishioner, what's the meaning of that? Naturally, they say, oh, this is happening so that the baby is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That might be it, but there's a deeper explanation. We dunk the baby three times in the water to remember the death of Jesus. And just like Jesus died and he was entombed for 3 days, our sinful nature also dies in the moment of baptism. But that could be the sacramental moment, the rite of the initiation of our faith. That is not it. That is just the beginning of the journey. A journey that starts from that moment, and the culmination of that journey is life eternal. Is the moment where we get to our destination to be with God. Therefore, in this journey, we have to remind ourselves that our old self was dead, has died. And Paul reminds us, and he says that we have been united with him in a death. It might be a little difficult for the reader to understand, how are we united with the death of Jesus, his gruesome death on the cross? Fortunately, our death is not as painful as his was, because he took the burden. All we need to do is to make sure that our sinful nature in us is dead, is no longer active, is no longer present. How do we do that? This is the real question. How do we, so to say, kill that sinful nature in us? It is part of us. I think one of the best ways to do that is as we try to stay away from sin, we need to try to do the good things more often. You cannot eliminate something and create a void in your life. When you eliminate something, you need to replace that with something positive. And the more of the good things that you do in your lives, a better person you will become. And this takes us to the last part of this reading, the very last words that Paul says. You are not under law, but under grace. What is grace? If you look any dictionary, look it up in any dictionary, you will see that grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It is the unconditional free gift that God gives to us for the sake of our sanctification. This means that we are not alone in this journey. And I'm not talking about this Lenten journey, I'm talking about the journey. The journey that otherwise is known as life. The journey that will take us eventually to our Creator. In this journey, God is constantly there. He's reaching out to us, trying to help us, so that we will become more like Him, resemble Jesus in our life. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I hope you also find inspiration in this reading, because it is certainly very inspiring. Let's try to make positive changes in our lives. Let us try to become better people. Before I conclude my episode today, I would like to remind my listeners that the Liturgy, Education, and Tradition series at St. Sarkis Church is starting this Friday. And this Friday, we will have our beloved Bishop Anushav Antanelyan, the Vicar General of the Armenian Prelacy, who will speak about the year of service. You are encouraged to come and pray the Vespers at 6:30 in the evening. Serpazan's lecture is at 7:30, and the fellowship hour, which will be hosted by the Ladies Guild, it will be following immediately. The hymn today is Nayat Sirov. This is a hymn that we sing during the Vesper hours during Lent. This hymn was performed by our Datevatis last summer at Elversum, Pennsylvania. I hope you will enjoy listening to Nayat Sirov. We will be back soon. In the meantime, I would like to thank our sponsors, our listeners, and my producer, Mr. Greg Dostur, and also my co-host from Italy, Mr. Ve Bzdigian. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your family members. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ may always be with your heart. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Saki's Church office at 718-224-2275.